that from the moment he sinned, because remember, he's a created being. He was not created in sin any more than man and woman were created in sin. God does not create people in sin because he cannot sin. He cannot be tempted with evil, and he does not tempt people with evil, James chapter 1. And then we have to remember that heaven is outside of time. A simple statement of truth. Unless a time correlation is given, events are difficult to place in our flow of time. And we tend to forget this, that when God is in heaven, which the Father resides outside of this creation, therefore he resides outside of time, he makes statements that are true in reference to himself, but may not be true at the moment in reference to us in what wherever we're at in time. Like when God said that Job is a righteous man, meaning saved, he did not mean at the point in time that Lucifer was going to go and torment Job. Job was religious. He was not righteous. He was not righteous until the end of the book of Job, when he said, I repent. Ah, salvation. Yeah. Elihu, the last speaker, said, Job, you're just a terrible, wicked individual. You blaspheme God to justify yourself. That is what sinners do. But Elihu did not change Job's mind. God changed Job's mind because God spoke after Elihu and asked Job a series of questions in the empirical, because that's how Job could understand. And Job was overwhelmed by his absolute powerlessness. He was never going to be able to do anything. All his money, his position, his power, his wealth was absolutely worthless. And unlike the rich man, Job repented. Thus he was saved then. So what God said at the beginning of the book of Job is absolutely true in relationship to God. Everybody's in present tense. And remember, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Thus, in God's perspective, you are saved. In time perspective, though, not yet. Or if you are saved, you must still grow in spiritual maturity, a very painful process. In fact, the new covenant of salvation was planned before this creation, Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. So we need to turn to Revelation chapter 5, because I wanted to drive that point home for this reason. Verses 1 through 4. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. When did this call go out? They're in heaven. This call could have gone out even before creation. Because remember, there is no past tense in heaven. There's no future tense in heaven. There's only the now in heaven. Now, your brain's going to struggle with that concept because we are creatures of time. And we only think in terms of time. All languages have a past tense, present tense, future tense. For that reason, because that is how our brains are made. That is our worldview. That is how we deal with incoming information, is we put it in little pockets of time, past, present, future. Same way with when we come to the scriptures. But this is not true in heaven or outside of this creation. So I'm saying that this call, who is worthy, went out in eternity past. I know it's in the last book of the Bible, and for years you come to this and say, well, this is happening later in the future. And no one is found worthy, oh my gosh. But the Lamb was found worthy. But that was later in this chapter. Weep no more, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Now he says no one was worthy, and they could find no one worthy in heaven, and then later on after creation, on the earth or under the earth. No, what's under the earth? That would be hell. No one was worthy. Man and woman before they sinned, not worthy. So it implies that somebody else was trying to prove themselves worthy. Some created being believed himself worthy to open this. In other words, he believed himself to be equal with God, to make himself as equal with God. And when he was rejected, as he was not God, because he was unable to atone for sin, things did not go well. Did not take rejection well. So let's look at Lucifer's fall again. Because Lucifer, as we know, reflected God's glory. However, he was a cherub, a ministering spirit of God, Hebrews 1:14, sent to minister to those whom he will serve. Now, I'm saying this is not going to sit well with Lucifer. We go to Ezekiel 28. Those great passages that deal with Lucifer. We go to verse 14 and 15. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. So on and so forth. In other words, he was not worthy. Why was sin found in him? Because he wanted to show himself worthy. He believed himself to be equal with God, to be worthy to do this. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, the other great passage dealing with Lucifer. And we'll go to verse 13. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. That could be the angels of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit in the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. And those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. So why did Lucifer fall again? He found a way, he thought, to be God. To be worthy to open that scroll. To take title deed to the people whom God had called to be his own. Unfortunately, this opportunity was not his. He did this because of his pride, because of his splendor. He was the bestest angel. He was the wisest angel, the most beautifulest angel, had the coveted position of all the angels overshadowing the throne of God. But he was a ministering spirit. He was not going to be worthy. It had nothing to do with the fact that sin was in him that made him unworthy. It had to do with the fact that he was not God. And he was never going to be God. Because being God meant you had to already be God. Because God has no beginning. Thus, he was already disqualified. Thus, his pride rebelled. And he separated him from God eternally. Because there is no salvation for angels who sin. Christ did not come as an angel. Hebrews chapter 1 makes this abundantly clear. He did not come as an angel to save angels. He came in humility in the flesh to save people. Whom then, in eternity future, these angels will serve. Once again, a blow to Lucifer's pride. We were here first. We were here now. It's not fair. It's not right. All the things we hear today and agree with. And why do we agree with them? Because it appeals to our sin nature. To the sinful flesh that always wants to place itself above God. To show itself worthy. Well, Satan was not worthy. And this was proved because the moment he was rejected, he rebelled. Probably using the same arguments. Let's go to Luke chapter 14 to put this in perspective. And this is the parable of the wedding feast. Now, in the past, when I've read these parables, I was saying, well, Christ was just making them up on the fly because they're good stories and they have a nice moral truth to them that once it's revealed, it becomes very obvious. And you go, of course. Yet, I think there's more to them than this. Follow along here. And he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. Then you would begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. What if, logical inference again, this mirrors what happened in Revelation chapter 5? Who is worthy to take the scroll? Lucifer struts in, I am worthy. I will take the scroll and open it. But he was not worthy. And he had to be told, he had to be humbled that he was not worthy. Whereas Christ did not take the scroll. He is the one who did not come to set up his kingdom. Rather, he was sent. And he was sent in the form of a slave to take on the form of flesh, Philippians chapter 2, to die as sin on the cross. The sin reveals in pride of life. It rejects humility. We struggle with this our whole lives, even after salvation. We struggle with this. False humility is the worst type of pride. There are many teachers of the true gospel that are struck with false humility. Lucifer in pride believed himself more worthy than the Son of God. Yet he was rejected as unworthy by God. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. He is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you cannot reject him, resist him, if you are in pride like him. You must be humble, and God will work through you. Because we cannot resist him, resist Lucifer. We are too much like him. Even in the lust of the flesh, pride of life, we are there. Like Adam and Eve, we would be easily swayed. Even saved. It takes God working through us to reveal the truth of this. And for us to stand in God's strength, not in our own. So Christ in humility is the only one worthy to open the scroll. Not because he was humble, but because he's also the Son of God. And we see this all the way down in Revelation 5. We go back there. Because then everyone in heaven sings a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Now this, when Christ makes his appearance, puts it in a time perspective. But he also was chosen before the foundation of the world to perform this. But he didn't take the scroll until after he had performed this in time. See, everything about salvation, everything about this creation was fixed in time past. Eternity past, not time past. We have to grasp this. And it also brings us new meaning with God's discussion with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, 3 through 7. Remember, Cain was raised to be Meshua, that I've taught before, both in Genesis and other lessons. Cain is a play on the Hebrew word of gotten, kahan, I believe. And Eve raised him with the mindset that he was going to be Yeshua and defeat Lucifer and free them from sin. So he was raised to be a mighty man. And all his brothers and sisters after him were taught that he is the one. And so when God rejected his offering, not because of the substance of his offering, but because the pride of himself, and accepted Abel, who means worthless, essentially, one without breath, one without worth, God accepted his offering, not because the type of offering, but because of Abel saying, I am unworthy. And God says, I will make you worthy. And to Cain, he said, why are you angry? The result of sin is always anger, always violence. And the trait of your violence, because that's what Lucifer produces. Because when you're not of God, you are not God. Therefore, it is sin. And it always rages against God. It always is violent. And I can imagine this conversation going on with between God and Lucifer up in heaven. Why are you angry? Control your sin. Well, it's too late to control your sin. Too bad. There is no salvation for you guys. Thus Satan said, it is unfair, it is not right. And his argument swayed a third of the angels of heaven into voting against God. Because thus, when they sin, there is no salvation, there is no redemption, there is only the lake of fire for them. So at that moment, Lucifer was immediately consigned to Sheol. Though it will not occur until the end of this creation, which we read in Revelation 20, 7 through 10. Thus Lucifer believed himself to be worthy to be Yeshua due to pride, just as Cain believed himself worthy to be Yeshua, God, little g. Both lived in violence, evidence of their sin. Thus Lucifer became sin because he wanted to rule rather than serve man in eternity future. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 through 3, that we are to judge angels in eternity future. And Hebrews 1:14, of course, says that they will serve us. And this was just too much for poor Lucifer. But to be Yeshua is to be sin. Because Christ became sin, dying for man, to bring all who are called to the Father. This is the essence of salvation. In Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8, let us turn there. And the psalmist writes, but I am a worm and not a man. A worm is a picture of sin. Satan is that old worm, the dragon. That's how he appeared in the garden. That's how he appears in Revelation 13. Thus, I am a worm in Mark. In the parable of sinners being cast bound hand and foot. Where the worm dieth not in the lake of fire. Why? Pictures of sinners. I am a worm. I am a sinner and not a man. Scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. This is Christ on the cross. We go to each of the Gospels, and see how they mocked him. He said, God is your Father, let him save you. We want to see this great miracle. And yet, in the last 3 hours on the cross, he became sin. He became separated from God, suffering in that span of time as God, the infinite wrath of God on sin, that then could be applied to those who are saved. So we are covered with the righteousness of Christ, who paid the penalty for sin, our sin. Thus, Lucifer, Cain, you, me, anybody cannot do that. That is why we are unworthy. That's why they were unworthy. Because they are not God. Only God can suffer infinitely to pay the penalty for an infinite God whose righteousness was violated by sin. And it's not for Satan, Lucifer, and the angels that fell. Because Christ did not die for them. He came in the form of flesh to die for man. Because man was created to be in the image of God. You start out in some form of that. Thus we are moral creatures, like the angels are moral creatures. It's like God is a moral being. But at salvation, the new covenant, we are then being molded in Christ's image. Thus, at the end, when all is said and done, an eternity future, all who believed in God, all who trusted in him, had faith in him, will reign with him, complete in his image. Not infinite. Not usurping Christ, but through Christ, worshiping the Father. Now we know he was successful because he was not left in Sheol. And the psalmist tells us this in Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is Christ talking. I will accomplish this. I will see it through, and you will not leave me there. And he did not. He rose. Thus Lucifer was unworthy, as was man, for this very reason. We're finite. We're limited. We want to believe otherwise. But our atonement can't even save ourselves, let alone be applied to anybody else, to satisfy the penalty of an infinite God. And besides, no one wanted to die. They wanted to rule. And Cain went on to rule, being the father of civilization. That's another logical inference. If you go to my studies on Genesis in the early, that cover that period, you'll understand that. Christ did not seek this path for himself. He was sent. Father told him to be faithful to death. He was. Thus, he is worthy of honor. You say, send me, I can do it. Yeah. I can take all this glory and power for myself now. So he did. He was sent. The call goes out, who's worthy? He's not trying to gain anything out of that. The Father sends him, saying, we have to reduce you to this blob of flesh here. Great. And you're going to be in a body the rest of eternity. Great. but he willingly came. For an infinite God, take on the form of flesh, even the new flesh. You're taking the infinite and squeezing it down to the finite. Yet, he was sent even before creation when he said, "It is light." Because that is Christ in his Shekinah glory coming into this formless creation of dark, picture of sin, and bringing order out of it to set the stage for everything that is going to unfold and has unfolded. So this is the difference. Lucifer, he sought the place of honor. Christ, no, he didn't. Lucifer rejected, he showed himself as sin, since he did not repent. Christ, he became sin, dying on the staros for man. Lucifer had no intention of dying for anybody. In other words, when he says he died on the staros, that meant at noon, he was suffering spiritual death, being separated from God. He did not lay his spirit down, set his body aside, until that work was totally completed, when he said, "It is finished." Then his spirit left his body, separated. No one created can do that. Lucifer revealed his sin, his not God nature. Christ reflects the Father's nature, as do all who are saved. Lucifer, he is the Father, the first of sin. Whereas Christ, God is Father of all saved, and he is his beloved Son. Thus, one is either God or not God. God is the source of all truth. Like John 14, and we will get there in our studies. John 14, starting in verse 6. He said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You got to like the apostles, because they're not the sharpest tacks on the block here. But they're not indwelt by the Spirit of God yet. This is before Pentecost, obviously. And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be okay. We'll believe everything you say then." In other words, Jesus, show us the infinite God. Everybody's just shaking his head. He said to him, "Have I been with you so long you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Thus, Christ is the embodiment of all that is God that we can understand and grasp. And we're saved. That new nature is made within us. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creations. Old things are passed away. All things become new because we have a new nature. That is what happens at salvation, true salvation. It's a reflection of God's character. No one comes except through Christ. However, not God means that you reject God's truth because it is foolishness to you. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It is foolishness to you. You're never going to accept it. It is spiritual death. You are conceived in spiritual death. And you are reflecting that sin character, that sin nature. And since there's no other way to be saved, you're not saved because you're not coming that way. It makes no sense to you. You're going to do it your way. Because that's what sin, the not God nature, does. So which burden? Christ's message from the Father, believe in the Son and find life. And Christ says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, my burden is light. I bore the brunt of it. Lucifer's message from himself, you were made to be ruled, and I will rule over you. To borrow a line from a recent movie. By implication, Lucifer's burden is great, seeking to devour all who are like him as he elevates himself. Because that's what sinners do. They rule over others with a rod of iron. By the fist. That's what we do. That is what man's governments do. Even today. Socialism, international socialism, national socialism, what are they? They are means by which the elite few, very elite, very few, rule over everyone else, forcing everyone to be the same. To grovel in the dust at their feet. As they excuse themselves from the very rules they impose on everyone else. In other words, they rule. They do not serve. Sin cannot serve the pride of life. That's just what Christ says over and over again in this dialogue. I was sent. John began this dialogue with Christ's brothers telling him to go to Sychar to gain more disciples if he was to have a following. This was Lucifer's approach. It's sinful. And Christ rejected it. Now, he went to Sychar, but he went to Sychar promoting the Father's salvation, the Father's truth, emphasizing that he was sent. It was not his plan, not his goal. But I was sent, and I have come. Opposing this truth reveals you to be the sin. To be of sin, not of God. Therefore, the same as Lucifer, because there are only two natures, either God or not God, which we call sin. So Christ's clear message is rejected. Sin always rejects the truth of God. Romans 8:5-8. The flesh will never, ever accept the things of God. Now, when you're saved, guess what? You have a new nature. Guess what? You have the flesh. It remains. It hates God. It hates everything about God. Its own animating principle wars against the things of the flesh. And the more you try to control it, the more it controls you. Colossians 2. The more you try to deprive it, the more you empower it. It's shown throughout the Bible, and we see it around the world today, especially in some of the more popular religions. We saw it in monasticism. Asceticism, none of this created righteousness. None of this proved you were righteous. This is false humility. It only strengthened the flesh. There's only one way to humble the flesh, and that is through the calling of God, the revelation of God, of himself to you, saving you, giving you a new nature. Then you will be rejected, and you will be persecuted until the time we are called to be with him. Whether it's individually or in mass at the rapture. Turn with me to Psalm 24. And starting in verse 3. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false? And does not swear deceitfully. He will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now remember back when we were talking about Lucifer? I will ascend to the throne of God. I will ascend the mountain of God. I will. Who will actually ascend to sit on the throne of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not lie, does not swear deceitfully. This is Christ. This is what he is saying right here in this dialogue. If I reject God's truth and agree with you, I make myself a liar like you. In other words, your religion is not God. It is sin. You have perverted the truth of God into that which is not God to justify your flesh, your sin nature. And those who were saved, you persecuted. I like them to make reference to the prophets, because Christ in another gospel, the gospel says, and which of the prophets did you not kill? I mean, you go and you pretty up their tombs, but which of them did you not put there? You're your fathers. And by saying, if our fathers hadn't killed them, you have made yourselves children of hell. Because you worship your fathers and the work that they did. So thus, Christ ascended to glory with the Father, never to be separated from him, and neither will any who are saved. And let's turn to Romans 8. And we'll start in verse 36. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Separation is the death. Yes. In this life, we will be persecuted. We will be ridiculed. Many are dying, having the souls being separated from their bodies by the destruction of their bodies by sinners who hate God and thus hate them. All they do is send them to God. All they do is send them to be comforted. They try to inflict the worst fate they know, and they give them the best result. There is no separation from God for us. Christ will be there when we die, as he was with Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and we will see that. And we will be comforted by that. As the body, the sinful flesh is left behind and is said to fall asleep. So this is the end of the dialogue, this particular dialogue. We've come a long way through this. This is John's clearest statement through this dialogue that Jesus is God. Amin, amin. I am. And we see how this contrast between God and those who have the nature of God, the saved, and sin and those who have the sin nature, first being Lucifer and all after him, have come into being. We have run the gamut from Genesis to Revelation, from eternity past to eternity future. This takes some time to understand. And it should form the backdrop for all other scripture we read. Lucifer was not worthy. No created being is worthy. And sin was born. And we were born in sin. But praise be to God, He has called some of us, for whatever reason, outside of ourselves, by His own criteria, which He shares with no one, He has called those whom He has called to salvation. We don't know who they are. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to sit on our butts and not do anything. We live the Word of God, which means that we speak the Word of God, which means that when people hear us, they will either hate us, or some will be attracted to the truth. Want to know more? And they too will be revealed as called of God, being saved by Christ through the work of the Spirit, by the message which we are.